The Rabbi Chava says pshat. And it could be the pshat is found other way, but he definitely substantiates it with Gemoris and he adds on to it. And maybe two things. Number one, that Rabbi pshat has to be mind-boggling and nicht verstandig, amol kem yo verstehen. That's number one. And we'll see maybe towards the end that it's maybe not so partial, but we need it. Number two, it could be taka that maybe there's a lot more there, but which we didn't get. So let's see how we go. But beforehand, in order to just, I think it's important just to introduce different pirushim of the, as we generally do, which is very interesting actually. We say this regularly, the psukim, and we come in contact with them. And this is a known posuk, and interesting different pirushim. I haven't seen in all the pirushim, some of them. Okay, whatever. Let's go. Maybe I see something like that over there. Okay, all of a sudden I see it now. Let's go. Those who have a stone edition on page 518. The pasuk says we speak about the Nidvas HaMishkan. Was it?
It's not stable. It's rocking a bit.
What do you put in there? Alka-Seltzer. You know what Alka-Seltzer is? Do they sell it here?
Antacid.
Yeah. It's an antacid. I thought maybe that's what's bubbling, no?
Minnesota.
No, no, it's not flat at the bottom. It's
Minnesota. Minnesota.
So good. Page 518, correct. Page 518. So the pasuk says, if we speak about the Nidvas HaMishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Eden to bring the what they're meant to bring for the Mishkan. And the Torah tells us in the pasuk, without going into detail, the Torah tells us in pasuk Chav Beis 22, Vayavoyu ho'anoshim al hanoshim, kol nediv lei veiviyu choch v'nezem v'tabaz v'chubos kol kli zov. Now we're going to concentrate and deal with the first section of the pasuk. Vayavoyu ha'anoshim al hanoshim. The men, it says men and women, doesn't say husband and wife. We'll soon see if it has to be husband and wife. Maybe some men and women. Well, by the way, it's not by the way, it's actually part of this whole thing. The Aderes, in his commentary on the Baal HaTurim, which is found, published, as a supplement to the Baal HaTurim HaSholem, which the shul, by the way, happens to have two sets of them. But I don't know if people generally look in the back, but it's worthwhile looking there, because there's a novel, Gevaldike Choshev, a commentary of the Aderes from Mir and Ponovich, one of the Gdoli Yisrael, and he says a lot of phenomenal Yonah. But the Baal HaTurim says on Vayavoyu HaAnoshim Al HaNoshim, you know, why don't I have a Mikroz Gdolis, please, excuse me. Let me get a Mikroz Gdolis, because I'm going to need it for the two Pirushim, and it's Al Gdeg. I recorded what I said, it's Al Gdeg, and it's Gefarla, so you recorded it. Ich bin nicht mehr wie ein Mensch. Kama Mensch. Sagte Balaturim on Vayavoyu ho'anoshim al hanoshim. So he says as follows. It's not interesting. Aderes. The Balaturim says the numerical value of Vayavoyu ho'anoshim al hanoshim koil nidib lev hevioi is bigimatria. Its numerical value is oz ish v'ishtoi oz then. At that time. It was man and wife, husband and wife, bo'im yachad. They came together, they joined together, joined hands. So he just makes a remark, two things. He says, what are men and women mixing together? Therefore, ma mechitza. It's a mechitza, no? Now listen, you should know in Beit Shemesh, they wanted to institute. It was bumper to bumper Erev Shabbos and it was Geferlach, right? I'm not talking about... I don't want to say the wrong thing in public because I'm being recorded. But in this supermarket, it's not a big supermarket. You get it? Yep. And so you packed out of Shabbos. So Bechol Oifen, they wanted to institute different hours. Different hours.
For women and men.
Yeah, different hours during the week. Different days and different hours for the men and the women. It didn't work. So at least they made different registers. That there's one register for the women. And one register for the men, but then there was a whole big shakla vitaria. Who's going to serve the men and who's going to serve the women? Will a man serve the men, etc. Not so partial, complications. But the Nekudas HaDvarim is... We'll soon discuss that, by the way. But the Nekudas HaDvarim was... Zogt der Aderes,
of. Doesn't will the Balaturim sagen. The Balaturim wants to convey to us that it was only then, at that point in time, that era, that point in history, that time in that era, in the time, in that history, that time in history, then it was okay. Then it was okay. And he says for two reasons. Number one, as the Balaturim continues on, he says, it wasn't stam men and women. It was ish the ishtoy, as we'll soon discuss, husband and wife, number one. Number two, because there were oisik bidvar mitzvah and they're all involved in donating for the mitzvah, so therefore this was allowed in relation to husband and wife, etc. Those who want to appreciate all of the terminology that Adara says, look it up yourself in the Balaturim HaShalom. What do you want to say?
Fuketa Egel, where the women didn't give the jewelry.
No, we're not talking about that yet. We didn't come there yet. You're jumping the gun. We're getting there soon. Yeah, definitely so. The Das Kanim says that, what you're saying. Beseda. But we'll get there soon. Okay, so that's the general, what he says about Vayavoyo Anoshim Al Anoshim. Okay, Beseda Ogeret. So that's the Balaturim. The Iker is, let's go on. So we have in this pasuk, interestingly, many different definitions. Vayavoyu ha-anoshim al-anoshim. Literally translated, don't look in your English translation, because whatever they say, they either make it up, or they took it from some commentary. But I said literally. Well, possibly. Now, literally, al means on, upon, correct? Literally. So when it says vayavoyu ha-anoshim al, excuse me. No, the rule is that Rashi is pshutoi shel mikra, etc. So you can't learn Chumash without Rashi. Yeah?
Yeah,
we know that. Nevertheless, there is a Tanakh Yehoyosh, which I don't know if how much you believe in Teresh Shebal Peh, but he thought you can translate the Chumash into Yiddish.
Yiddish.
Oh yeah, it's a tie, and he teaches azalchet krumba teaching azaleilo laeilo. And in the periodical, the publication called Akriya V'Hagdusha, which came out of the United States under the auspices of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe in the 40s, so they basically have sections of Tanakh Yehoyosh, which translates sections of Chumash in Yiddish, and he doesn't look in the Teresh Shebal Peh without incorporating the Teresh Shebal Peh, and just translates it based on his Svoras Kreisa in his stomach and on the literal translation, and he says such Kurumazachim, as a Geferlach, and Melacht from him, it's right, because you understand it was an era of Yiddishisten, and they felt that's enough to learn. Yehoyosh was a Yid. I should tell you about him also. Look at Akriya Bagdush, you'll see what they make of him. Anyway. By the way, if you want a copy, to a glimpse of what Yehoyosh looks like, I'm almost sure when I went through the Svarim in the Chevra Kadisha, which was advertised on Althaus's email. So I went there, I saw one of Yehoyosh's publications sitting there. So if you want a glimpse of what it is, check it out. Okay, ich far weiter. I'm sorry for this Svarim Taylor. So Yehoyo ha-anoshim al-anoshim means al-an, right? That's the literal translation. Literal, I therefore had... No piggy banks. Piggyback. No. So there's a tire Oyra Chaim HaKadosh. Tire. And only the Oyra Chaim HaKadosh can say it because he's Kodosh. And he says a Dover Niflu. It says that the men brought the women's jewelry. Yes? So it's Avayavoyo Anoshim Ala Noshim. They took it off the women, they took it off them. Ala Noshim. The jewelry, in other words, and he says there are four levels of precious items a person has. He has his personal items, his household items, his personal jewelry, then he has investments in gold, then he has etc., etc., etc. He says, the thing which is most precious by the person is not just things he has and others don't have. It's his personal belongings, his personal jewelry, his wife's jewelry, etc., etc., and things he wears every day, etc., or his household things, his personal things. You know, I once invited the Pesayid Agvir, yeah? And when he came, he brought him a lamashka. And I had asar geld mefun unzala bantish years ago. And the kid is, after he looked back, see, when he leaves, he takes along the bottle of mashka with him. I couldn't understand what's going on there. Can I Horace fault him? And he's also a nice person. But the bottle of mashka, which he brought from his personal collection, he made sure to take home with him. It's Pasha Tazach, right? It's a personal thing, so whatever, maybe it's whatever it is. I'm just being lamed chus, whatever the case is. Yeah, so he says that the Torah wants to bring out the tire kite And he explains Pashat every detail of this Pashat, how the Torah seems to enumerate different, highlight different details. He says, etc., different expressions in relation to Nediv Lev, and we use Dafka, there's Nodvo Liboy, and here it says Nediv Lev, so it's a different Lashon. It says, he enumerates the jewelry, then it says Kol Klizov, etc., etc. So take a look at the Or HaChaim. He explains that basically the Torah wants to build up the great love and appreciation the Eden had to donate to the Mishkan. So that's what it says. They actually brought the jewelry off their wives. And guess what? Here comes the punchline. This is what he says. Then he says, you know, they didn't suffice with that. Yesh loimar, that when it says Al Hanoshim, they actually paraded their wives to the Mishkan, to Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't stop, take the jewelry at home of the wives and bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu. They went with their wives. And they bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu v'yaviyu ha'anoshim al ha'anoshim. The men take the jewelry, they bring their wives in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And because they wanted to express how dear it was to them to bring to the Nedova of the Mishkan, so they're showing Moshe Rabbeinu, look what we're doing. The wives are wearing this gorgeous jewelry, and it's a lot more gorgeous when it's on the wife, right? I don't know exactly what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh means. You have to look at the Or HaChaim, learn it well. But they wanted to express chiboson, their great dedication and love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they bring their wives with the jewelry, and then they take off the jewelry and give it to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the closest to the definition of Al Hanoshin is the Pirush of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. This pshat happens to be found in some of the texts of Rashi. You will not find it in your texts. Not there. Okay? But in my text, it's there. That's why I wanted it. And it says as follows. Listen carefully. And he says, according to this text, it comes out that the Targum actually says that pshat. Listen carefully. I'll read you the words. And he says, Masha, it's in brackets. And basically, this whole section, this whole Rashi, actually, whatever we have in our Rashi's here, in Chof Beis, there's a definition of Rashi in Vayavoyu Ha'anoshim Al Hanoshim, right? So the facts are that according to certain editions, the first edition of Rashi, Tfus Rishon, the first edition of Rashi, did not contain this whole Rashi. So it seems to be a later edition from either a student or whatever, lav dafka, this whole Rashi is from Rashi. In other words, besides the brackets, which all of you don't have at all, but even what you do have may also be possibly not from originate from Rashi, maybe an addition from some other great sage. And we find that, and therefore it's not found in the original first edition of Rashi, first printed edition of Rashi, as brought by Meforshim. But the Iker, listen to what it says. It says, Mashi hatargum hiniach al kipshutoi. In other words, you will soon see, and as we will soon mention, like as others mentioned now, the Rashi. Rashi seems to say, Al doesn't mean upon or on. Al means with. Right? Good. But it says in the bracket as well, Masha ha-targum iniach al kepshutoi. The targum, you fellows have a targum? Yes, you do. Take a look at your targum. In the targum, generally, the targum unculus translates and defines the pasuk, correct? So here in the Targum it says in Chof Beis, Umaisan Gavra Al Nishaya. It doesn't say im Nishaya. Rashi says Al means with, right? Accompanied. But here it's right, we just finished saying the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says upon it, right? On them. So Old Unkelos also says Al. He doesn't say im, correct? So that in this bracket quotes, he quotes the bracket, then he says, the bracket quotes, Basha Hatargum Iniach Al Kipshuta. This that the Targum leaves the word al as is. It doesn't change the term, right? Define it. Mishum, deloy mitargem vayavoyu ho'anoshim v'osu gavraya k'moshim mitargem le'elminei rak mitargem u'maison. So what he says, take a look. There's a pasuk chof aleph vayavoyu kol ish asher nisa'o. Chof aleph. Good. Then it says, again, chof beis, vayavoyu ho'anoshim al'anoshim. Now, literally, vayavoyu means they came. Vayavoyu means they came. Correct? Take a look at the Targum. Chof Aleph in the Targum says Va'asoy means they came. You know what it says in the Targum of Chof Beis? Umaisan. And they brought. And they brought. You get it? And they brought. The Mele says this definition in the Targum as follows. That's why, because he says this Vayavoyu doesn't mean they came. This Vayavoyu means they brought. Therefore, I can define, translate the al literally. This is the meaning. He says, Sheheviyu choch venezem ba'oidon al hanoshi. They brought the jewelry whilst it's still on their wives. You get it? Just like the Rechaim HaKadosh says. So the Targum says, pardon?
They're wheeling the wives in.
Yeah, wheeling if they needed to wheel them. Maybe they warped them. Like, whatever. Call it what you like. Some would like to wheel them. Okay, some, yeah, etc. And depending on what. So it means, umayson gavra al nishaya. Like the Rechaim HaKadosh Taichis doesn't bring the Targum. But that's the pshat. The men brought the jewelry on the women. You get it? And he says, like it says further on, tovu alo izim, it says they spun the wool whilst it was still attached to the sheep, right? They didn't cut it off first and then spin it, etc. So the goats, right? So the same hair too, that's like the same concept that they're bringing the jewelry whilst it's still on them, and it's appreciated like the Arachama Kodesh Taichis. Interestingly, Rav Sadia Goin, and both of these psukim, Sadia Goin from the Gaonic era. So in his definition on Chumash, Moshe Rav Kook was published that you don't have to be a big collector of books. But I'll call upon him in Pirush of Sadia Goin. I think there's another Pirush, but I have one of the Pirushim. So he teaches, he says, on Vayavoyu and Vayav, both Vayavoyus, he says, Vayaviyu. Teaches Vayavoyu doesn't mean they came. Vayaviyu means they brought. So it follows very well. That's the pshat of the Targum Umayson, and it fits in very well with the Pirush of the Or HaChaim. That's exactly the chiddush of this pasuk. So the al means literally al. Here's an interesting pshat. Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, in his Meshech Chochma, says a very interesting thing. The Or HaChaim, this means the Or HaChaim, he brings this text of Rashi, which we have, right? Which reads, like we said, that they seem to bring the jewelry to Moshe Rabbeinu whilst it's still on the woman, right? And then removes it. The Rechaim HaKadosh said he did it. But the husbands do so. Why? Which, by the way, according to that, it's husband and wife. Like it says very clearly in the Baal HaTurim, it's Ish Ve'Ishta, it's not stam men, it's stam women. It's husbands bringing their wives, etc. So what the Rechaim HaKadosh says to express their love and dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and their excitement, look at the Rechaim. Okay, for whatever he means there. Okay? But he says an interesting thing, al derech ha'aloch, says Rav Meir Simcha. And he says as follows. He brings to our attention a Rambam and a Ravid. I'm not going to get involved in all the details of it for two reasons. Number one, it's complicated. Number two, I didn't really investigate it all the way through. And one of the real reasons is because it's not a Ragut Shavu. It's Rav Meir Simcha. And it, whatever, I'm not giving it. This is not Hedera Kovid. I'm just saying the Shira's get to Rogat Shava, therefore I couldn't spend much time on it. But it's an interesting taich. And I'll just tell you the scratch the surface, what he says, the information, general information. So in Ursa Meach, in Hilchasi Surim is Beach, Perik Dalad, Halacha Dalad, you see, I looked it up. I saw the Ursa Meach, don't get me wrong. And it's a Meshach Chochme, and it's Perik Dalad, Halacha Dalad, it's all there. It's there, definitely there. So I'll call upon him. He brings to our attention a Gemara. There are three Gemaras. He brings to our attention a Gemara in Avodah Zorah and a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And if I recall correctly, also a Gemara in Gittin. But the gist of it is as follows. The Gemara says that if someone sets aside, verbalizes, and he says, I want this cup should be consecrated for Avodah Zorah. Or I want this animal to be set aside for Avodah Zorah. Okay, so the Gemara says, saying is just
in the Velta.
It's not binding. It doesn't affect the item, and it's still kosher. It doesn't become osur mitzad avodah zorah. You still may derive benefit from it. It has nothing to do with avodah zorah. The only time there's when does it become, so to speak, prohibited, and you have to keep away from it, mitzad avodah zorah, is only if you do something with it. You do an act. You shear its wool, or you actually refine the. You did an act. You actively did molded something for the sake of the avodah zorah. But if you just say it, you say this cup should be consecrated for avodah zorah, or this animal should be consecrated for avodah zorah. It's fine. Says the Ursa Meach, Rav Meir Simcha, that this is only lahed. This in connection to this Rambam and this Ravid, which is a major issue, so he says he teaches the Gemara that this inyan only relates to to anything which is out of the Beis HaMikdash, anything which doesn't relate to Kodshim, anything which doesn't relate to Korbonos. But when it's in connection to Korbonos or Bedek HaBayis or Beis HaMikdash or Mishkan, if someone says that I want this should be for a Korban, so then the halacha is that it becomes osur to use as part and parcel of the Beis HaMikdash. Listen carefully. Says Rav Meir Simcha, and it's all substantiated. He goes on to say as follows. Listen. If you remember Parshas Kisisa, we learned it last week. We read it last week. In Parshas Kisisa it says, Aaron HaKohen sees Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't come around, and he's having a problem with the Jewish people, with the Erev Rav. What do? We have to make an egel. He doesn't want to make the egel. He's trying to stall, right? Stall time. What does he do? He advises. Listen to what he advises. He says, Vayomer Aleim Aaron, and Rashi explains, he says, Poruk Unizmi Azov Asher Bozni Neshechem B'nechem U'vneisechem. You know what? We need gold to make a golden calf, to make an Avodah Zorah. Remove the golden, the earrings from your wives, from your sons, and your daughters. What was Aaron's intention? Aaron's intention was to stall time. He knew very well that women and the children won't give up their jewelry so quick. So by the time, he hoped by the time they'll give up their jewelry, so Moshe Rabbeinu already come down the mountain. Lamaise didn't work well because the men were impatient. And Rashi says it on the spot, even before. Rashi says that they couldn't wait, and therefore it says that they took off their own jewelry. The men got rid of their own jewelry and used their own jewelry for the egel. And that's what the passage continues on to say, Gimel, Vayisporku, Kol HaOm Es Mizni Azav Asher Bozneim. The Om, the masses, the people, not the women, not the children, but the males, the adults, remove theirs. They have no patience till the women and the children will finally your kvetchos, till they'll finally get their jewelry off of them, because they wouldn't get rid of it so quick. So therefore the men gave theirs. Aha. Then it says further, right? Good, that's number one. Number two it says, then it goes on, it says, Vayaseyu egel masecha, they made a golden calf, Vayomru, and those who joined up with the golden calf, they said, Eile Elokecha Yisroel. So the Gemara says, and this is actually quoted also in the Balaturim, Eile Elokecha Yisroel. So the Chazal say, and the Balaturim quotes it, She'ivu Leilokus Harbe. They were unhappy, they were unsatisfied. One golden calf wasn't enough. They wanted a lot of deities, a lot of idols. Gorasach. So when they gave, they chipped in with their jewelry, they weren't happy. After there's a golden calf, they said, Eila Elokecha Yisrael, She'ivu Lelekus Harbi. They want more. So the Meshech Chochmah Rav Meir Simcha says, what's Pshat? Pshat is that they still had some jewelry with them. And they basically are saying the jewelry they have with them, they would like to have for another golden calf, for another deity, for another eagle. They gave some of it. They took off some of their jewelry. And then they said, they want more. So they have more jewelry with them. So they want to give it. So basically, what are they transgressing? I mean, in other words, what comes about? What happens? They basically, it's as if they've said that the jewelry they still have and own, which they haven't yet shipped in, should be set aside and consecrated for what? For the deity. So they said it. Now that stuff, that jewelry which is consecrated, set aside for a deity, can be good for private use, but it can be good for the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. Therefore, says the Rav Meir Simcha as follows, when the Yidden came and had to give gold and silver and join in and chip into the Mishkan, right? Yet, the men couldn't come alone. Because whatever they're going to bring is non-kosher, is unfit to give to the Beis HaMikdash, because it was consecrated for the Egel, Ivul Elikus Harbe, and the Mele, therefore, for the Beis HaMikdash is unfit. We can't use it. If they'd come without their wives, they would just bring jewelry, like, hey, it's a nice bunch of jewelry. You see, it looks like women's jewelry. How can you trust them? Maybe it was consecrated for the Mishkan. What do? They brought the jewelry on their wives. And the wives, one never chipped into the Egel. We remember Parshas Kisisa. They wouldn't remove that jewelry by the Egel. But maybe when they're coming with their jewelry on them to the Mishkan and to Moshe Rabbeinu, so then it's definite that it wasn't set aside and consecrated for the deity, for the Egel Azov. And that is kosher and that is fit for the Mishkan. That's why they had to come with their wives, with the jewelry on their wives. They couldn't just bring jewelry in the Veltarai. So with this we have a halachic perspective from Rav Meir Simcha. Kiyodua, that Rav Meir Simcha, not just neighbors, there is a wealth of information. There is a fair bit of information Torah, in the Ursa Meach, which is identical to the Tzopras Paneach, Al Derech Zeh in the Meshech Chochma with the Tzopras Paneach Al HaTorah, etc., etc. I'm still not sure why, but that's the way it is. Some say it was the ear in Dvinsk, whatever it may be. Derech Agav Rameir Simcha, the Rav Chava Likleb Rameir Simcha in Dvinsk. They yeah. Yeah. So there again, they were pals. Tov. Like I said once before, that I think if the Rav Chava saw something by Rameir Simcha, he loved Dafka, was very happy with it, and he most of the frequently said Moshe Kapoy. Okay, whatever. Yesh La'ayim Bozen, a lot was written already on this, how they seem to see eye to eye in many different analyses and different nyonim. We're going on. It doesn't belittle anybody. It doesn't belittle the Rogachover. And it was a big yid. Lamaisa, his learning is also a very unique style of learning. It's not your yeshivish gekvetched limud. It's a very broad type of limud. He brings the Talmud Yerushalmi Lorov, and he has a very beautiful perspective on analysis and different than yonim. Different than your standard Ifana limud, definitely so. Nor there was one mile in the writings of the Rav Meir Simcha that they're readable and they're legible and they're comprehensible.
Generous,
100% so, and it's gewaldic, and a lot of philosophy, etc. And he uses the Meir Nevuchim. It's very interesting that they're very identical in many ways. Yeah, I believe, Ms. Dama, that's why the Rav Chava got on with him. Well, they're given as a sort of mensch. Okay, before it's weiter. So we had two ways of approaching why they have to bring the jewelry whilst it's on their wives. One approach of the Rechaim HaKodesh, one approach of Rameir Simcha, and it's all, the Yesod HaDover is based in the Pshat of the Pesach, in the Rechaim, or in the Targum, etc., and we're going on further. So that's one way of learning. Now, of course, most of the Mephorishim, most of the Rishonim, and your commentaries are your usual standard commentaries on the page, do not learn that way. It's very late. Myriv is 8:30. Okay. The setup. So just to mention a couple. Another pshat is, actually, there's another pirush of the Balei HaTosfos, which is not very, pleasant. But they also seem to learn al, more or less, take it literally. Because they say, Vayavoyu ha'anoshim al anoshim, they basically attacked the women. They came on the women. They grabbed it off of them. In other words, yeah, they schlepped it off of them, because we know very well the women aren't very happy to and easy to get rid of their jewelry. Nevertheless, and we see by the Egel, they didn't give their jewelry, right? Here, they balkorchom, so to speak, like the Dosh of the Taskoinim is, klomer lishloil mehem tachshiteyem, lishloil, right? That means booty, so to speak. They grabbed it off of them. At the end, once after it was taken from them, you would think that they were regretful. No, they were very happy. And that's the milah of the notion, that when it came to Egel, they don't serve the Egel, they don't want to give it to their own journey whatsoever. Here, once, even if it's forced off of them, they're quite happy about it. And they're happy to join up with the because it's part of the mitzvah, and they donate to the Mishkan. And that's why the Das Kanim says, interestingly, and it's not just the Das Kanim, it's found that all the Rishonim, the Cheskuni brings it, and the Paneach Roze, or many Rishonim, etc., the Tosfos Arosh, many Rishonim. And the Das Kanim says, because this occurred on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, that's when we're putting up the Mishkan, we're donating. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that because they didn't sin at the angle, and they didn't chip in with their gold, and they're using their gold for the mitzvahs, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Rosh Chodesh Nissan as their Yom Tov, and thanks to Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they're also having all the other 12 months of the year, 11 months of the year, as their Yom Tov, the women's Yom Tov, therefore they're not meant to do Melocha, etc., etc., etc. So basically Rosh Chodesh Nissan, which is coming up in Meretz Hashem the coming week, so that is a special Yom Tov, which is established based on the jewelry which was given by them. So that's another approach which also seems to coincide with the which fits in more or less, yeah. The Ramban learns, it says, Vayavoyu ha'anoshim al hanoshim. What does al hanoshim mean? He says, al hanoshim would mean, he seems to say im, because he refers us to a pasuk in Parashas Boy, because in Parashas Boy, we also find where it says, al matzos, I think that's the pasuk there, al matzos umroirim yechluhu. right? So we have to eat the Korban Pesach with matzah sumaru. It doesn't mean on, it means with. So here too, when it says vayavoyu anoshim al hanoshim, it means they're coming with the women, right? Which basically, Rashi says it clearly. Rashi says al hanoshim im hanoshim, with the men. Oh, by the way, the pshat of the Das Kenim is also found in the Kli Yochor, right? Kli Yochor, if you look in the Kli Yochor, he also says that it was like grabbed off of them, etc. Okay, you get it? The koyach godol, etc. Okay, look at the Kli Yochor. Okay, for advaita. So Rashi says it's im hanoshim, so the men come with the women, usmuchin aleihem, and together with them. All right, or like Rabbi Kaplan translates al hanoshim based on Rashi, they accompanied the women. They accompanied the women. Okay. Now the Ramban seems to follow with that in core, in essence, but he adds another link to it, and that is another point to it, and that is he says when you say the men come with the women, that means the women came first. And the men are secondary to them. So that's what the Ramban time is. So first, the women come, and the men go along with them. So even though we say it's with them, but he could have said the women with the men. He said the men with the women, that means they're first coming. And they're also, the men are accompanying the women. And basically he says, because what are we talking about? We're talking about women's jewelry. And women's jewelry, the women have their jewelry. So it's they who are giving away their jewelry. And if that's the case, therefore the men who also add the gold, like it says further on, right? They're coming and accompanying and coming along with them, but they're only secondary and a supplement to the women, like Nitzpal and Tofel to the women, and Rabbeinu Bechaye and many, and the Tura or Chalatera also follow with this Pirush Ramban. Now, in the Pirush Toldos Yitzchok, I didn't make it up, Toldos Yitzchok is the uncle of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, wrote the Pirush Toldos Yitzchok, okay, on Chumash. And the Toldos Yitzchok quotes this Ramban and he says, I don't understand the Ramban. How can the Ramban say that the women came first and then the men accompanied them? What are the women doing? The women are basically donating jewelry. He says, with what right did the Gaboi Tzedakah, right, Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of and those who were appointed to collect what was donated, take such expensive jewelry from the women without their husbands? What's going on? It's a Mefurashi Gemara. And here comes the Rogachover going. The Gemara says, the Rogachover going refers us to a Mefurashi Gemara, Misichta Bavakama Daf Kuf Yutesa Mudalef. The Gemara says, Gaboi Tzedaka, if women want to give charity. So the Gaboi Tzedaka, the those who collect charity, right? I don't know if it means, I'm not sure if it means like nowadays. It means there was a kupesh al tzedakah, right? So those were appointed to collect charity for the city or whatever. So it says that they may take from the women, from noshim adover mut, right? A minimal amount. But they aren't allowed to take a large amounts from the women. Why? And this is bistam. You have to realize that. So that's a gemara mefureshes and mesichta bavakamad of kufyut test. There's no argument on that. And this is recorded in the Rambam lahalocha in the Hilchis Matnes Ani in Perik. I think I'm almost sure it's Perik Zayin Halacha Yud Beis. And in Hilchis Dokas Halacha and Hilchis Dokas Simereish Memches Hil Yeredeya Hilchis Dokas Simereish Memches Siv Dalet. It's all there. Now. So the Toldos Yitzchok says, if there's such a halacha, now I'll just give you some background to this halacha, because basically we're gonna expound a bit on this. The background information is as follows: like the Meforshim Rishonim and Achroinim, Meforshim Harambam, etc. So I'm not gonna mention any specific names. Meforshim Shulchan Aruch. They say as follows: this halacha applies bistam. In other words, when we're unaware of what's going on in the business dealings at home with the husband and the wife. So when we enter a home, the Gabbai Tzedakah enters the home and wants tzedakah, right, or collects tzedakah from this family. The rule is, if the woman is at the door and she gives the tzedakah, the most the Gabbai Tzedakah can take is a minimal amount. And the Gemara says, the continues on and says, Ravina, just to give you an example of what that is, and that is also recorded in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, Ravina was a Gabbai Tzedakah, right? And he was in Mechuzah, and he collects from the women's stalker golden chains and bracelets. Not bad, huh? Mu'at, a minimal amount. Says the Gemara, Vashtuchachdo. Don't give it all away. Yeah. So he says, what's going on here? Frag the Gemara on Ravina. We just learned only a Dover Mu'at. Says the Gemara, you know, relative to the wealth of the Anshe Mechuzah, they were so wealthy that the golden bracelets and the golden chains the women gave were taken by the Gabbai Tzedakah is minimal. So that's why the garbage dukkah. So therefore, everything is relative. And basically, that's the way it's calculated. All right. So the halacha is that only when it's bistam, if we're unsure, you can take only a minimal amount. Now, if you know for sure that the husband doesn't appreciate even that a minimal amount, you're not allowed to take even the minimal amount. If you're under the impression that the husband allows more, not under the impression. Now here comes, there's a tshuva in Edibiyu, the quote of the Pesach tshuva. This also may have practical application nowadays, but I'm saying may. The reason I'm saying may is because, number one, I didn't investigate it. Number two, I don't want to pass on halachas. Number three, speak to your local rabbi, basically. That's number two. Speak to your local rabbi. No. And I, chas v'chalil, not to infringe on any yidin who come and raise tzedakah for any Eretz Yisrael, whatever it may be. So you should know that it's not so poshut. Some do identify to this halacha, and some say that nowadays it's totally different. I'm not saying anything. I made clear. I was moiser moidor. I made it clear that whatever I'm saying is not applicable. So I'm saying, nevertheless, you have cases where, right, when someone knocks on the door, right, and the woman comes to the door and wants to give an amount, whatever. So the question is, how do you judge it? And the fellow's taking it, so do you have to identify it to the Shulchan Aruch? And therefore, only if it's a minimal amount, and then if the fellow knows what you're worth. So maybe he can take more, and if he doesn't know what you're worth, etc. And here we go to a very interesting... So the Neid Behuda says a very interesting thing. What happens if there's a tshuva, the Neid Behuda, tshuva. If I say, history repeats itself. He says, listen, that's a major human nature. He says, what happens if the wife knows that the husband's a miser? He's wealthy, he's yalach v'koyrach. And she knows that he has enough money. So she decided that she'll give the money for him. So she has the... In other words, we have right to get it out of the husband. So the Rebbe Yehuda says nothing to do, and she has no right. It's pure gneiving zeila. That's basically the halacha. The halacha is that taking more than the minimal amount from the woman, from the wife, is gzeila. Why? Number one, if she's giving a large amount, who knows where she got it from? Maybe it's drug money. I mean, basically, you know, she who knows what she ripped someone off. Because she handled it. We're talking about an estate where she's not handling, right? She's not like today's career women, etc. Number one, again, this is another issue which is relevant. Or also, she's not the woman who is handling, and like there's no even Stephen going on, or the joint accounts, etc. All of these things are important because there's a mafurashi am shul shlemit in Baba Kama, which is quoted in the Yad Avram and all the Achronim, and the Brzhanerov, that nowadays the halacha doesn't apply. Because the woman is noisen v'noisen in the house, and she's basically also doing the wheelings and dealings with the husband, so therefore she has the full jurisdiction like the husband has. But I'm just saying there are a lot of guidelines, so don't take me literally. I'm just bringing just general information to your attention. So what is nice, the Yehuda says, nothing doing, that if she knows that he's worth a lot more, she has no right. The Rabbonim have right to evaluate him. The judges have right to evaluate him, but the wife is not a judge. And she's posel lodin, and therefore, if she takes anything more from the husband, even though she knows he's worth more, she's mamish gzeila ugneva. Then he also goes on another interesting tshuva, which is quoted in the Pesach tshuva, and that is, for instance, if she's pregnant and she wants to give additional tzedakah for a pidyon for her baby, for her fetus, that she should give birth in a healthy way, etc. You know, the Yehuda says you're not allowed. She has to get permission from her husband. It's unbelievable. And he says, unless there was a special minig in the family, that when it comes to this state, that the woman's pregnant, someone in the family's pregnant, and you give extra money, so to speak, pidyon geld or kapora geld, for the fetus, that it should be give birth in a healthy way, so then, possibly, then the husband's obliged to follow the minig of the family. But otherwise, it's not refuah, he says, it's not an inyan for her healing, it's something in addition to that. So if it's something which is to heal her, then he's obliged to. But if it's not, etc., it's an extra expense, she has to get full permission from him. So I'm just saying there are a lot of interesting cases. So the ikar is, what happens if the woman, here we come to an interesting Pesach tshuva, if the woman claims that she comes to the garbage dukkah, she just says, my husband allowed me, I have permission to give you more than the standard. So the Neid Yehuda Pasch, the Pesach tshuva brings, that we accept. She has namonos, she's trusted. In other words, there, even though normally if she's giving, you can't give, you won't take a minimal amount. But if she says, I have an allowance, and there's a permission given, so we can trust her. What I saw interesting, the Pesach tshuva is an interesting thing. He says, he brings the Neid Yehuda, and then the Psalmim Roish, and then he says, V'ayin Sforno, Parshas Vayakel. And here we come to the Sforno, which basically, here we're going back to the so the Torah, the Yitzchak says, what's going on here? This is a foolish Gemara, you're not allowed to take more. You're not allowed to take. So here she's giving such expensive jewelry, she's giving it away, right? According to the Ramban, she's not coming with her husband, she comes first and the husband comes after. So what's going on here? So the Ikir is Azoy. Rashi Taka learns, not in vain, and that's what the Torah Sitzchak concludes, that when it says, Vayavoyu Anoshim, Alam Noshim, they come together. So that's what the Rogat Shover Goyen says. The Rogat Shover Goyen is Mechadish Pshateh. I don't even know if he saw a Sforno, maybe he didn't see a Sforno. It's Mefurish in the Sforno, Lamaisa. But the Rogat Shover Goyen says, due to the fact that the Gemara says in Mesichta Bava Kama, that the Gabbai Tzedok is not allowed to take only a minimal amount, but if it's anything extraordinary out of expensive jewelry, you need full permission. That's why the husbands have to come with their wives to show and accompany them, to show that they give the full consent, because otherwise the Gabbai Tzedok wouldn't be allowed to take it.
But they took them from the Egyptian.
So listen. It's good. From Egypt? Yeah. Lebanon. Yeah. Where you from? Okay, it's on the border. Listen, it's the Middle East. Herna, Haida. The Shachal HaTorah is a Tayre Zav. The Shachal HaTorah. Shachal HaTorah was Miguri HaArizal, Mitalmidei HaArizal. And he says, there's a phenomenal yonah, which are all al derech ha'alocha there. And he says as follows. He says, he says, the women had the right to give it away. He says, listen to what he says. He says, because there was Bizas Hayam and Bizas Mitzrayim. He says, by the Bizas Hayam, in Tekar HaChumash Mois, it says, V'shoa lo isho mishchento. Why isho mishchento? The woman borrows from her neighbor. So he says as follows, the women didn't have the hard labor as much as the men had. Okay, the hard labor was many other men, but they also had some hard labor. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bizas HaMitzrayim go to the women. It wasn't as great, but the booty of Mitzrayim was, it was the loot was something there, it was valuable, yeah, there were valuables. But Bizas HaYam was the quadruple, etc., so much more in value. That only the men deserved, not the women. So the Shachar HaTorah says, when the women are coming to give what they're giving away, the halacha is, if a gift is given to a woman, al menas, on condition that your husband shouldn't have any jurisdiction on these monies, and therefore put it in your own private account, the halacha is that it's hers, and he doesn't have any rights on those monies. The Meir says, the Shachar HaTorah, what's the problem? We don't need the husband coming together with the wife, even though she's giving away expensive jewelry. Because this expensive jewelry, she didn't receive from her husband. She received it from Bizas Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to her because she worked for it. Because she had the tircha in Mitzrayim. Therefore, she deserved it. And so she has the full right and full whatsoever. You don't need the husband with him. Which really reconciles the shayla of the Tolus Yitzchak on the Ramban. That we can learn that she comes along without the husband. But of course, Rashi says that she comes with the husband. Which interestingly, the Rogat Shavah, like we just said, says she has to come with the husband because she's giving away what the husband is, so to speak, has rights on. And therefore, she needs the full consent. Of the husband. In the Be'er Maim Chaim, Rab Chaim Friedberg, who is the brother of the Maral Miprog, in the Rashi, he actually says it as Pshat in Rashi. He says, the reason why Rashi says, Im Hanoshim Usmuchim Aleim, that's why Rashi Taka says it, because she had no right to give it away. She had to come with her husband in order for the husband to give consent. So the Rogat Shavah says it in the Pasuk, doesn't seem to say it dafka for the Rashi, but the Be'er Maim Chaim says it in the Rashi. Also, this foreigner happens to say it Mefurish in the Chumash. Interesting, here, just another two Nekudas, the Ponim Yofos, Tain is, we know very well, it says, Maise Yodeha Lebailo, right? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Ksubis that whatever she earns belongs to her husband. So basically, whatever she has no right to give away her earnings. So he says, it says Mefurish Maisi Odeh Labayla. Why does it belong to her husband? Because that takes the place of the husband supporting her. So Vibal, the husband feeds her. So therefore, the Chachamim said that whatever she earns goes to her husband. So he says, this takona, this enactment, didn't happen yet. It's the Chachomim in the later ages implemented that. So therefore, it wasn't at the time. But in the Sefer Likuti Yehuda, in the name of the Gerer Rebbe, he says a pashat thing. He says, the reason why Maisi Yodeh Labayla, because the husband sustains her, feeds her. But in this case, the husband didn't have to feed her, because they ate man. The man from the Himmel. The man fell. So the male of the sustenance came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the Maisi Yodeh remained her, so therefore she had right to give it away. The Iker is, I want to conclude, and we're finishing. The Rogat Shover continues on, he says, and I believe this is one of the chidushim of the Rogat Shover in this singing. The Rogat Shover says, the fact is that the women are mechuyiv, they're obliged to participate in the donation of the Mishkan. As the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaPtira, Perek Aleph, that they're obliged to participate in the building, they're obliged, begufam, bodily and monetarily, to join in to build the Beis HaMikdosh. And the Rambam says, Kemishkon Shebe Midbor. Like by the Mishkan and the Midbar. And the Kesef Mishnah says, like it says, Vayavayu Hanashim Al Hanashim. So we see they were obliged to participate. So the Rogat Shavar Goyim brings to our attention a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Negoyim, where there it says that if the husband is a wealthy person and the wife is not wealthy, so the children, if they aren't wealthy, the husband, if he brings a carbon on behalf of the children, he can even bring a poor man's carbon for them. But when he brings it for the wife, because Ishta Kigufa, they're one unit, so therefore the wife, if she's obliged to bring a carbon, so then the husband has to bring a carbon, because he's wealthy, he has to bring a carbon, not for a poor woman, but for a wealthy woman, as if she was wealthy. So here there's a special, so the Rogat Shavar Goyim learns, if she was obliged to donate in the Mishkan, so he was obliged to give her all the money she had to donate. So why do we need the Gabbai Tzedakah there, right? There's a new issue here which we're dealing with. In addition to the general union of Tzedakah, there's a special halach that they're obliged, she's obliged, whatever she's obliged in, and even to give to the Mishkan. He also has to sustain her with, and he gives whatever she's obliged in. And we give it according to his, we rate him. So if he's wealthy, so it all depends on him. So if that's the case, why do we need him? Let her come, let her donate what she wants, and because she's obliged, and he's wealthy, right? All that jewelry in the house, she has right to give it away. So the Rogat Shavar Goyim concludes and he says, no. Even in this halacha, which the Rambam records in Hilchos Shogogos, Perek Yud Halacha Vav, which is the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Negoyim, there too we need the consent of the husband. And therefore it says, Vayavoyu Ha'anoshim, Al Hanoshim, he came together with them to give his consent. With this we end, there's more. We just scratched the surface. I'm sorry.
Shkayach.